It's always wonderful when God begins to straighten out a person's life. And we've all been there. We've all had situations where God's had to straighten us out a little bit. But, you know, I appreciate Carl. He asked, could he share his testimony? And, Jim, did you remember to bring... Oh, okay. Jim stole the clip from... I'm just kidding. When you clip that on your belt a lot of times... And you pull it off, it sticks to your belt. I went home one Sunday, and I was sitting there, and something was sticking me in the side, and I thought, man, what's wrong with my side? And I kept moving around, and I looked down, and I had that clip stuck in my belt, and it was sticking me in the side. So I won't clip it on me here. I'll stick it in my pocket, I guess. I'll stick it in my shirt pocket here. But anyway, you know, I appreciate Carl sharing his testimony. And that's not an easy thing to do, to get up in front of people and do that. And he asked, could he share it? And I felt like I was supposed to let him do it. And I appreciate that, you know. And Carl, that's just the beginning for you. God's going to do a lot of wonderful things for you if you'll just follow on to know him. That's what you got to do. Ask him each and every day to help you, and he'll do that. And, you know. It'll get better and better as it goes along. I'm going to share a little joke with you if I can find it here. Margaret gave me this joke. I don't know where she got it. I guess you know. Me and Carl was talking about caffeine. This is a coffee joke. I was just trying to decide if I was going to share it. One morning, a grandmother was surprised to find her 7-year-old grandson had made her coffee. Smiling, she choked down the worst cup of her life. When she finished, she found 3 little green army men at the bottom. Sounds like something a kid would do, don't it? Puzzled, she asked, "Honey, what are these army men doing in my coffee?" Her grandson answered, "Like it says on TV, Grandma, the best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup." You have to remember the Folgers commercial to remember that, to know what he's talking about. But kids are funny, and they do the funniest things. Praise the Lord. I'm going to speak to you just a little bit. I'm not going to talk to you real long today. The title to my sermon today is Thanksgiving. And you know, in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 20 through 22, it says, "And after he gave them," this is Jesus talking, and this is not Jesus talking, but this is the disciples talking, and said, "After he gave them judges, about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet, and afterwards they desired a king. And God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto him David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." And you know, a lot of times we have to realize, if you look at the life of David, David wasn't the most, I'll say the most pristine man. David did a lot of things that displeased God at times, and he fell short of the glory of God. But you know, David walked in a position of grace, even before grace was involved in the scriptures, you know. And, you know, he loved God, and God used him mightily. And, you know, I was thinking about the difference between Saul and David. And, you know, the biggest difference that I could find between the two of them is that whenever Saul did something that was displeasing to the Lord, he always blamed the other people. And if you listen to people today, they're putting a lot of blame on everybody out there. And sometimes we find ourselves doing that too. blaming other people for our problems. And you know, most what I've found in my life is most of the time when I have a problem or when things are going wrong, I need to go in the bathroom, flip on the light, walk over to the mirror, and say, "There you are, you booger." Because that's usually where my problems came from myself. And that's where 99% of all of our problems come from. Usually they're self-induced, or we cause them in one way or another. And the difference between Saul and David is that Saul blamed the other people, but David would fall on the mercy of the Lord and ask for God's forgiveness. And God always forgave him. Always. And, you know, he was smart enough to realize that even when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and, had sent her husband out to the very front lines and so that he would be killed, you know, because he tried to hide what he had done, that he had committed adultery with her. And in those days and age, you can't really blame the woman, because if the king called for you, you went. And if you didn't do whatever the king said, you died in that day and age, you know. And, you know, it ended up where she went. David was up on the housetop and he saw her taking a bath. And, you know, lust rose up in his heart, and he called and had him bring her up to him. And, you know, and first of all, David shouldn't have been up on the housetop. He should have been out with the people at the battle, leading the battle, because that's what the kings did in those days. So he was kind of sloughing off his responsibility anyway. And then what ended up happening was she got pregnant. And after she got pregnant, David wanted to hide it, so he brought her husband back and told him to go from the battle and told him to go in and lay with his wife. You know, go in and stay with your wife. He said, "I won't do that." He said, "As long as my other fellow soldiers," basically, and I'm paraphrasing this, "as long as my other fellow soldiers out there don't have the comfort of home, I won't take the comfort of home either." Boy, he was a righteous man. I mean, really. And you know, so David realized that he wasn't going to be able to hide the fact that he had got this other man's wife pregnant. So he ended up figuring out that he was going to hide it some other way. So he sent him out to the very front of the battle. He told him, he gave orders for them to put him out in the very front. And when they'd go into battle, then for the other troops to withdraw from him all of a sudden. So David killed him. I mean, he just literally killed him. And yet, you know, he was called a man after God's own heart. But the reason I believe that he was partially called a man after God's own heart was because even after he had done that, and then later on he took her to wife, the woman to wife, and she had the child, and the child got sick and was sick unto death. And David put on sackcloth and ashes, and you know, and the Jews, they were very expressive. You know, they'd ripped their clothes and put on sackcloth, which was a sign of mourning, and ripped his clothes and poured ashes over his head and everything else, praying and asking God to save the child. And they came to David and they said, "Well, the child died." And David got up, cleaned himself up, and went about his business. And they came to David and they said, "Well, David," they said, "you know, when the child was still alive, you were mourning and you were, you know, you were very penitent and all this." And he said, "Now that the child's died, you're going about your business. You cleaned up, you did all that." He said, "Well, as long as the child was still alive, there was a chance that God would have mercy." And you know, he'd even sent Nathan the prophet to David before the child died. And Nathan came to David and he said, David, I want to tell you a story about a man in Israel. And he said, David said, yeah, what's the story? He said, there was a certain man. He only had one sheep that he loved it like it was one of his kids, you know. And, you know, to shepherds, your sheep are your whole livelihood. You know, if you don't have any sheep, you ain't got no livelihood. You aren't going to have any money. You aren't going to have anything to make money with. And he said, and this one man had this one sheep. He said, another man had a whole bunch of sheep. And he said, but yet he took that one man's sheep. And I believe he told him he slew it or whatever. And David got really mad because he'd been a shepherd boy out in the field and he understood all that. So he said, well, surely that man will die. David was going to kill him for doing that. And then Nathan said to him, David, that man is you. And you know, God has a way sometimes of hitting you right between the eyes with things. You know, you'll find yourself grumbling and complaining about somebody else or something. And then you'll turn around, and if you're not careful, you'll find yourself doing the very same thing that you were grumbling and complaining about with them. And that's the beauty of the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you what, the difference, like I say, between David and Saul was, is that David knew how to repent and knew how to ask God's forgiveness, and he'd throw himself on the mercy of the Lord. And he did that. And, you know, later on, from that same woman that David had an affair with, Solomon was born later on, who ended up being the future king of Israel. So God can turn things around even when they seem like they're an absolute mess, you know. But yet, you know, I'm going to read you some of the things that David said. And this is when Saul was persecuting David, you know. And it's in 2 Samuel verse 22, chapter 22, verse 1 through 4. It said, and David spake unto the Lord the word of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Because Saul wanted to kill David. Because, you know, we know that when David went out and killed Goliath, Saul should have been the one out there fighting. He was the largest man in all of Israel. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. So he was the biggest guy. But yet the little shepherd boy went out and killed the giant because Saul was hiding in his tent. And the people in Israel began to sing songs about David as Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000s. And you know, a lot of times when people begin to praise other people around you, sometimes you find yourself getting jealous of that. You find yourself getting where it stirs something up in you, and it did in Saul. And then Saul started trying to kill David from that day forward, you know. But anyway, and it says, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and my horn and my salvation and my high tower and my refuge and my savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The difference, like I say, between Saul and David was one blamed the people and the other one asked God for mercy. And in Psalm 46:1, I had preached a sermon on this a couple of weeks ago, this whole psalm. David wrote this and he said, God is my refuge and strength, a mighty, and this is out of the Amplified Bible, mighty, impregnable to temptation, a very present, well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains be shaken in the midst of the sea. So I don't care what's going on in your life. If you'll trust the Lord, he will meet you, and his peace will take care of you no matter what's happening. And David understood that, because time after time God met him when he would repent or when he would ask for God's help. And in 2 Corinthians 4:14 through 16, it says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. And you know, no matter what's going on in your life, God's in control. He's in control. Like Clyde said back there, he's got it, you know, and he does have it. But a lot of times we have to stay in situations a lot longer than we really need to because we don't acknowledge that he's got it. And he's waiting for us to just say, hey, trust in me. Don't lean to your own understanding. Know that I got this situation under control. Whether it looks like it or not, I've got it under control. And in Colossians 3, 12 through 17, it says, clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's own chosen ones. And this is how the Amplified 2. His own picked representatives, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God himself, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feelings, a lowly opinion of yourself, and gentle ways, and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering, and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Be gentle and forbearing with one another. If one has a difference or a grievance or a complaint against another, readily pardon each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. Above all these things, put on love and enfold yourself with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds, and in the peaceful state to which, as a member of Christ's one body, you're also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you, all its richness, as you teach and admonish and train one another in insight and intelligence and wisdom and spiritual things, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with his grace in your hearts. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In Ephesians 5:19 and 20, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks, and how many things? All things. All things. What's, how many is all things? It's all things. You mean the good, the bad, the stuff I don't like, the stuff that's aggravating the crap out of me? Yeah, even that stuff. Even that stuff. Praise the Lord. Psalm 100, 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Sometimes we think we made ourselves. I got news for you. We didn't. We are his people and sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generation. Enter his gates. You know what gates he's talking about? He's talking about the eye gate, the ear gate, the hearing gate, the feeling gate, all of those gates. Enter them with thanksgiving in your heart. Quit looking at things with a negative slant on everything. Start looking at things through the eyes of God. Start asking Him, Lord, let me see things for what they really are. You know, Philippians 4:6, and this is out of the Phillips New Testament. Don't worry over anything, whatever. That's pretty good, ain't it? Don't worry over anything, whatever. And there's a pause there. Tell God every detail of your need in earnest, and thankful prayer and the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. You know, we're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving this week, you know. And I'm going to read this to you. And it says, a thankful attitude opens the windows of heaven. Spiritual blessings fall freely unto you through those openings into eternity. Moreover, as you look up with a grateful heart, you get glimpses of the glory through those windows. Thankfulness opens you up to experiences which then provide further reasons to be grateful. Your path increases in gladness. Thankfulness is the language of love which enables you to communicate intimately with God. And I'm going to tell you what, if you aren't thankful, then you're not really communicating with Him intimately with love. You know, the Scripture tells us to enter His gates, like I said, with thanksgiving in our heart, and His courts with praise. You know, He inhabits the praises of His saints. And when you find yourself grumbling and complaining or whatever, and we all get in that once in a while, you know, every once in a while, we'll say, I always try to get up in the morning and be cordial. I always, first thing I say to Margaret is, how you doing this morning? How you feel? You know, I try to be, and sometimes, not always, but sometimes she's kind of grumpy in the morning. I'm telling on you, Margaret. I mean, sometimes, and then she'll probably tell you I'm kind of grumpy too sometimes, but when I'm grumpy, I don't think I'm as grumpy as she is. But anyway, you know, I always try to approach when I get up out in the morning, not taking a real negative attitude, taking a positive attitude, you know? And I tell you what, if you'll get up in the morning with thanksgiving in your heart and praise unto God, your whole day will be much better, much better. You know, Scripture tells us that you can't get bitter water and sour water out of the same, and good water out of the same faucet. And you can't. Either it's good or it's not good. You know what I mean? And we have the ability each and every day to make up our mind whether or not we're going to start that day off with a good attitude. And your attitude will determine your altitude for that day, how high you go in God. Because if you have a crummy attitude, then you're going to stay down in a low, crummy situation all day long. And instead of things getting better, they're probably going to get worse as the day goes on. But we have, you know, we're entering into that Thanksgiving season where we celebrate Thanksgiving. And just imagine this, you know, we know that historically what happened with Thanksgiving was that the Indians and the settlers got together and they threw a big feast. Well, the Indians and the settlers sometimes were at war with each other. But you know what? They laid aside all of that and had a feast. And they were together. And you know, a lot of times, if we'll just, you know, a soft answer turns away wrath. And if we'll just be decent to people, I like what Carl was saying about trying to be nice to people every day. And that's a determination that you make. And I'm going to tell you what, it's pretty hard to witness to somebody if you got the grump on every day. And I'll tell you something else, they won't listen to you when you do talk to them. But if you'll just ask the Lord every day, Lord, let me get up and start the day off with the right attitude, with praise and with thanksgiving in my heart, then you'll find that things will begin to turn around. And I know the Lord gave me some of the poems that He gave me over the years, and they're very basic poems, but they're like a prayer if you listen to them. And you know, that the poem that He gave me about struggle, you know, why do you struggle and why do you fret when all that you accomplish is to get upset? When everything seems to go the wrong way, just lift up your hands and begin to pray. And truly to praise me in all of these things, my peace will lift you as though you had wings. And as you look on the problems below, I'll give you the strength and the wisdom to know that surely I hold you in the palm of my hand, and that nothing can touch you unless it's part of my plan. And even when things are going wrong and you're thinking, Lord, can anything else go wrong today? If you'll learn to praise Him in the middle of that situation and know that He's got you in the palm of His hand, that situation won't have power over you unless you give it power over you. And the way you give it power over you is by starting to grumble and complain and everything else. But I just want to tell you, we have a lot of ability to form how our day is going to go from the very beginning. If we'll get up and we'll begin to praise the Lord and we'll begin to say, Lord, I thank you for this is going to be a beautiful day. Everything's going to be wonderful today because this is the day that who made? That the Lord hath made. And I'll do what? I'll rejoice and do what? Be glad in it. So we have a determination that we can determine what we're going to do. And either we'll rejoice and be glad in it, or we'll be grumpy and miserable in it. And we can do either one. But I tell you, if we're smart, we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. And I appreciate Carl sharing his testimony. And Carl, it's just a beginning for you and God. Things are going to get better as you go. And if you keep on trusting Him and keep on leaning on Him, He's going to do some mighty, mighty things in you eventually. Just keep hanging in there. If you all stand, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. And I thank you, Lord, that you set an example. The scriptures were given to us for an example unto whom the end of the ages would come. And David set a beautiful example about that no matter how many enemies were coming against him, he always knew how to praise the Lord, and he always knew how to be thankful, even in the midst of some really bad situations. And Father, I ask you to help us learn that lesson so that we can have that attitude of gratitude. And if we have that attitude of gratitude, then it's going to show out in our lives when we deal with other people. And people are going to see your nature and your presence. And Father, I just thank you. I ask you to bless this people. And as they get together with their families for Thanksgiving and have dinners and stuff, Father, I just pray that your anointing would rest on each one of them, that they could just be such a blessing and just such an encouragement to those around them in the family. And that Father, that truly it would be a day of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. If anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you.